If you have your Bible, and to hope that you do, please take your copy of the Word of God and join me in Psalm chapter 139. If you don't know where the book of Psalms are, go towards the middle of your Bible and you'll work your way towards Psalm chapter 139. And if you're just joining us today, today is week three of a summer series called Summer in the Psalms, where we are working our way through several key psalms, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And today, and also next week, we are going to work our way through Psalm 139. And I understand that you just sat down, but I'm going to ask that right now that you would stand to your feet as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God. The psalm says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And God, we come before your throne this morning and we say thank you so much for your beautiful, beautiful word. Thank you for passages of scripture like this very one that show us so much about you and your character, your love for us, and your detail in our lives. So God, we ask and pray right now that you would speak to our hearts. We ask and pray that you would minister to us, oh God, by the gentleness and the power and the presence of the Spirit. God, you know today what we need to hear. God, you know today where we need to be comforted. God, you know today where we need to be challenged. God, you know today where we need to be convicted. So God, we simply give this day to you. What we need today, Father, we ask and pray that you would give us. What we are not today, Father, we ask and pray that you would make us. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Thank you for your word. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated. Has there ever been a time in your life when you wondered where God was? Maybe you questioned where God was when you lost a loved one. Maybe someone close to you was suffering with some sort of an illness and you found yourself asking God where he was. Maybe it was during a tough financial time, or maybe you were wrongly accused of something, or maybe you were wondering where God was when a friendship or a marriage relationship went south. Maybe there's something that you are facing today, there's something that you are going through today, and you find yourself wondering, God, where are you? There's a very famous American poem, and it goes like this. It's called footprints in the sand. It reads, "One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me." He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." And this is what Psalm 139 is talking about. You see, there will be seasons in our lives when we question the nearness and the presence of God, but this great psalm reminds us that no matter what we may face on this earth, that our God is in the details, that God is present, that God is with us, whether we feel him or not. First of all, in this psalm we see, and you can write this down, we see the omniscience of God. We see the omniscience of God. This word omniscience, it can sound like a big word, but in all reality, it is a very simple word. It simply means that God is all-knowing. And you can think of it like this. Write this down. God is intimately aware of every detail of my life. This psalm is commonly attributed to King David. And this psalm, it tells us that he was going through something. And while we do not know exactly what King David was facing, the language used in this psalm points to some kind of attack, some sort of trial, something that he is going through. He is pleading for justice to be done. He says, again, in verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." In a better translation for this word searched is the word examined. In other words, King David is saying, "God, you examine what's going on inside of me." He's saying, "God, you know what I am facing. God, you know what I am dealing with." And the same is true for you and I in this place today. God examines every detail of your life. He doesn't miss a thing. He knows exactly what you have faced in the past. He knows what you're facing now. And he knows exactly what you are going to face in the future. This text tells us that he examines it all. He sees it all. And King David says, verse 2, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up." I mean, isn't this an amazing truth that every time that you sit down, every single time that you stand up, God sees it. God watched you sit down in your seat this morning. In a little while, when you get up to leave, and you go to your home or to lunch, God will see it whenever you rise from your seat. When you sit down in frustration, or you sit down and there are tears in your eyes, guess what? God sees it. And King David says, "You discern my thoughts from afar." In other words, when your mind is racing, when you don't even know what to think or how to feel, this text tells us that God understands your thoughts, even when you do not understand your thoughts. You ever been there? Verse 3, he says, "You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways." And not only is God intimately aware of your sitting, of your standing, he's intimately aware every time you even lay down. When you lay down alone in a place where there used to be a spouse, he's intimately aware of that. When you lay down with tears in your eyes, he is intimately aware of that. when you lay down, not knowing what tomorrow holds. He is intimately aware of that. And not only is he intimately aware every time you sit, stand, or lay down, this text tells us that he is acquainted with all of your ways. When you're on your way to the doctor to receive that report, God is aware. Or you're on your way to the hospital, God is aware. Or you're on your way to the bank to try to work something out, God is aware. You're on your way to the funeral home, God is aware of that. God is intimately aware of it all. Verse 4, he says, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. And even before you cry out to God in prayer, he knows everything that you are going to say. And this is a reflection of what it's going to be like in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 65, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying about what the future kingdom of God is going to be like. And God says in this prophecy, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. You see, before there is a word on your tongue, God knows about it. God already has the answer. Verse 5, he writes, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Another way of thinking about this verse is this, back and front you enclose me. You put your hand upon me. And not only is God intimately aware of every single detail of your life, this text is telling us that he is all around you. He is with you. He surrounds you with his love. He places his hand of comfort upon you. And this reminds me of what the prophet Zephaniah said. He said, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Do you need to hear that today, that he will quiet you with his love? Do you need to hear that today, that our God is singing over you, that he is singing songs over you? Then notice how King David ends this section. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. He says, it is high. I cannot attain it. In other words, King David is saying, this is beyond my understanding. This is wonderful. He's saying, I cannot get over the fact that you know me so well, that you are aware of everything in my life and you love me anyways. And the fact that our God is omniscient and intimately aware of every detail of our lives and he loves us anyways, church family, this should amaze us today. It should leave us in awe. It should leave us in awe as it left King David in awe as he says, such knowledge is, it's wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. I cannot wrap my mind around it. It should leave us this morning with peace that our God sees everything. It should leave us this morning with comfort that God sees everything. It should leave us this morning in a state of joy, knowing that our God does not miss a detail of our lives. He sees it all. Our God is omniscient. Next, we see the omnipresence of God. We see the omnipresence of God in this incredible text. Another big word and another way of thinking about the omnipresence of God is this, and you can write this down. God's presence is constantly with me. God's presence is constantly with me. Look what he says in verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? You see, there is no place that you have been where God was not there. And there is no place you can go where God is not already there. In the hospital room, God's there waiting on you. The funeral home, God is there. The ambulance, our God is there. On the battlefield, God is there. In your darkest place of depression, God is there. In the worst times of your loneliness, God is there. And not only is God omnipresent and everywhere, God is the sovereign ruler over every place that you might find yourself. Look at what he says, verse 8. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. This word Sheol, it is a reference to hell. And David is not saying that he has access to go and make his bed in hell. It's not what he's saying. What he's doing here is he is comparing the extreme of the extremes, saying that God is sovereign over every place. He is sovereign over heaven and he is sovereign over hell. The Bible makes it very clear that God is sovereign over every place, including hell. Job said, Sheol is naked before God and Abaddon has no covering. Again, both those words, Sheol and Abaddon, are references to hell. Proverbs 15, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more are the hearts of the children of man? Old Testament scholar Allen writes, while Sheol is not within Yahweh's sphere of blessing, it is within the sphere of his divine sovereignty. And if God is sovereign over heaven and even hell, how much more is our God sovereign over every place in between on the earth? This is what King David is saying here. How much more is he sovereign over any place or situation that you might find yourself? Verse 9, he says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Again, there's no place where God is not already there. In any and every place, the hand of God can lead you. In any and every place, the hand of God can hold you, as this text says. Verse 11, he says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. And if you're in the dark today, if you're facing darkness today, listen, that darkness is nothing to our God. God is with you. He is light. He can be your light in the darkness. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, God is everywhere. He is light in the darkness. Our God is everywhere. In Jeremiah, God said, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Again, our God is omnipresent. Our God is everywhere. And we come to verses 13 through 18. And we're going to skip verses 13 through 18 because this is what we're going to do. Next week, I'm going to come back to verses 13 through 18, and I'm going to cover them in detail. But these are an incredible set of verses that talk about God's design, his intimate design, his delicate design, his detail, his creation in the womb. And if you ever want to know what the Bible says about this abortion epidemic that is plaguing our country, I encourage you to be here next week because we're going to look at these verses in detail about what God says about life. And when life begins, we're going to speak about what the Bible says about abortion. Lastly, we see in this amazing text, we see the omnipotence of God. This is another big word. It simply means this. You can write this down. It means that God is all-powerful. It means that our God is all-powerful. Remember at the beginning of this message, I said that King David was facing something. He's going through something. Again, We do not know exactly what King David was facing, what he was going through. Again, the language used, it points to some sort of attack, some sort of trial. He's pleading for justice to be done. And this is why he's saying in this text, God, you see what's going on. You examine what's going on in my heart, in my life. God, you are omniscient. You are all-knowing. It's why he's saying, God, you see what's going on and you are with me. God, you are omnipresent. And then David, he gets really honest with God. He says in these verses, in honesty, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? He says, I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. So David is apparently going through something with someone. And what's he doing? He's telling God how he feels about it. David apparently had some enemies. This text tells us he had some enemies, and they were against the one true God, and David's just being honest. He's saying about God's enemies. He's saying in this text, God, slay them in your power. God, in your power, make them depart from me. Verse 20, he's saying, God, they're taking your name in vain. He's saying they're rising up against you. He's saying, God, they are my enemies. And basically, David is saying, God, in your power, take care of this problem. Take care of this issue. Take care of these enemies. He's being honest with God. He's being open to God. And did you know that you can pray the exact same prayer to God with the exact type of openness, with the exact type of honesty to God? Remember, church family, he's intimately acquainted with your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking anyway, so you might as well be honest with God. As David prayed, God, slay the wicked. You can pray openly and honestly to God. Believe me, God can handle it. God in his power can handle anything. You can pray, God, in your power, would you slay this issue in my life? God, in your power, would you slay this attitude that I have? God, in your power, would you slay this sin that I keep going back to? God, would you, in your power, slay this addiction? God, in your power, would you slay this marital problem that we're having? God, would you take care of it? God, in your power, would you slay this depression? God, in your power, would you slay this emotional hurt or pain? God, in your power, would you slay this discontent? You see, you can pray openly to God and you can pray honestly to God, just like King David did. If God can be omniscient, and if God can be omnipresent in your life, he has the power to slay whatever issue you are dealing with. Nothing is impossible with our God. And then King David ends this amazing psalm with this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And these verses are tied to the verses about King David's enemies. David is saying, God, search my heart and see if there is anything inside of my heart that is like the heart of my enemies. And he's saying, if there is, God, lead me in the way everlasting. What's that mean? You could think of it like this. God, if there's anything in my heart that is like the heart of my enemies, God, lead me in your ways. God, show me my sin. Convict me of my sin. Show me your path. Show me what you want me to do. And this is a great prayer, church family, for us to consider this morning. It's a great prayer for us to consider. It's a great prayer for us to pray. God, you know all things about me. You see it all. And God, if there is anything in my heart that is dishonoring to you, God, would you show me? Would you lead me in your ways? So this psalm, it shows us that our God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. Shows us that he knows everything, that he is omniscient. It shows us that he is constantly with us. He is omnipresent. And this psalm points us, it points us clearly to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. How? Because ultimately God shows us that he is with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, Matthew said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What's that mean? It means this: God is with us. God tangibly shows you and I that he is with us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, proving that he is with us. He sent his Son to die on a cross for sin. John says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." This word manifest that John uses is the Greek word phaneroo. It means to make visible. It means to make known. You see, the love of God, it was made known by the presence and action of his Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Why did God reveal his love and his presence to you and I through his Son, Jesus? Again, for sin, for your sin and for my sin. He loved you and I so much that he would send his Son, that he would reveal his Son to you and I. Ultimately, to send his Son to a cross, to die on a cross for sin, to pay the penalty for sin, that you and I might have this type of intimate relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So what's all this mean for us? How can we apply these wonderful truths to our lives this morning? This is not in your bulletin. I want to encourage you to maybe write this down somewhere. This text clearly calls us to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. It clearly calls us to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. You see, when you receive the salvation of Christ by confessing him as Lord and submitting to his lordship, you will never be alone again. You'll never be alone again. In Ephesians 1, Paul says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him," this is what happens. He says, "You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." This means that when you bow the knee to Christ and you confess Christ as Lord, you submit to the lordship of Christ, it means that the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. Therefore, you will never be alone again. He calls us to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. Next, this text, it calls us to trust the sovereignty of our God. You see, when you submit to the lordship of Christ and you submit yourself to his authority and you walk under the umbrella of that authority, you can absolutely trust the sovereignty of God over your life. Psalm 115 tells us, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Lamentations 3, "Who has spoken and it came to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it?" I love what Spurgeon says about the sovereignty of God. He says, "I believe that every particle of dust that dances in the sunbeam does not move an atom more or less than God wishes." Again, when you submit to the lordship of Christ and you walk under the umbrella of his authority, you can absolutely trust the sovereignty of God over your life. Just like that song that we sang about a few moments ago. "God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you." Why? Because the song says he's sovereign. He's sovereign over everything. Therefore, God, whatever comes my way, as I am submitting my life to you, as I am submitting my life to your lordship as I am submitting my life to walk under the umbrella of your authority. God, whatever comes my way, I trust you. Because God, I know that you see it. You don't miss a detail. Because God, I know that you are with me as I am walking through this fire, as I am walking through this time of my life. I know that you're there. Therefore, God, I trust you. We can trust the absolute sovereignty of our God. And lastly, this text clearly calls us to rest in the nearness of God. Calls us to rest in the nearness of God. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe there's something that you're facing. Maybe there's something that's going on in your life. Maybe it's something that you faced in the past and you're wondering, God, where were you? Can I just remind you that God was there? Can I remind you this morning that God is with you in this very moment? And listen, some of you need to hear this. Maybe today you're good, and I praise God for that. We praise God for that. But you need to write this truth down, that you can rest in the nearness of God. You can rest in the nearness of God in the future. You can trust him. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. In the hospital, he is there. In the funeral home, he is there. In the confusion, he is there. In the depression, he is there. In the loneliness, he is there. In the hurt, he is there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall hold me. Even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to go back to that first point I made. This text calls us to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. When you receive the salvation of Jesus Christ by submitting to Christ, confessing him as Lord, the Bible makes it very clear from that verse that we read in Ephesians that you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That means the Spirit of God comes to abide in you, to walk with you, to help you, to comfort you, minister to you. Why do you need to submit to the Lordship of Christ? The Bible makes it very clear that you and I, we are dead in our sin apart from Jesus Christ. What is sin? Sin are mistakes, sin, bad things that we've done. The Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all messed up, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of that sin is death. What's that mean? It means that what we deserve is eternal life in a very real place called hell. But then the Bible says the gift of our God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone, that you can receive salvation today. Never walk alone again. How do you do that? The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? You're saved from your sin, from the penalty of your sin. How do you do that? If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart today, it means God is calling you to salvation. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can call on him right now from your seat. Pray something like this. God, I understand that I've sinned, that I am a sinner. I call on Jesus right now to save me. I submit myself, I submit my life to his lordship. I call on Jesus for salvation, and I commit my life from this point forward to live for you and to honor you. And if you said that to God and you meant that, the Bible calls you a Christian. Maybe you're in this place this morning and you just need to be reminded that God is omniscient, that God is intimately aware of every detail of your life. Maybe you're in this place today and you need to be reminded that God is omnipresent. He's with you today. He was with you yesterday. He'll be with you tomorrow. Maybe you need to be reminded today that our God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He can handle anything that you are facing. He can handle anything that you are dealing with. Our God is greater. Nothing's impossible with our God. He is all powerful. But today, have you bowed your heart and your life to the Lordship of Christ? Are you trusting in the sovereignty of God? Are you resting in the nearness of God? God, we come before your throne and we love you. We say that we love you. Thank you so much for texts like these that remind us that you do not miss a thing. Thank you for texts like these that remind us that you are constantly with us. Thank you for texts like these that remind us, God, that you are all powerful, that nothing can come against you, that you are greater than anything. You are greater than loneliness. You are greater than hurt. You are greater than our pain. You are greater than the darkness. You are greater than depression. God, you are greater than any relational issue. Father, you are greater. We thank you so much for that. God, I pray over my brothers and sisters this morning that if there's anybody in this place that simply needs to be reminded of these great truths about you, that you would show them today that you are with them, that you would allow them to feel your comfort, that you would allow them to feel your peace, that you would allow them to see your power. We love you, God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, in just a few moments, we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to sing this song that we sang a few moments ago, that our God is sovereign over everything, that he doesn't miss a detail, that he sees it all. And we're just going to sing this song of worship, this song of praise back to our God. And if you're in this place today and you have questions about what it means to be a Christian, you have questions about what it means to be a follower of Christ, we would love to help you answer those questions right now. Maybe you're in this place this morning and you need someone to pray with you. Maybe you're at your wit's end, or maybe there's something going on in your life and you need someone just to voice a prayer over you. We would love to do that right now. We're going to sing and we're going to worship God. Maybe you have questions about what it means to be baptized, like you saw Isaac a few moments ago. Maybe you have questions about what it means to be a member of this church. I'd love to help you answer those during this time. You be obedient to God. And as we stand and as we sing this amazing song to our God, he is sovereign over all.